But I'm so glad that whether there's one or 15 or 25 or 2,000, don't take more than one to have church.
Amen.
You and Jesus. Right. You can have church in the barn. You can have church on the hillside. You can have church in the riverside. You can have church while you're fishing. You can have church when you're talking to somebody about a claim, which I have done. And you have church whenever you meet together and you just
Amen.
Fellowship.
Amen.
You have church
right.
on the phone. You have church when you sit down with
yes.
the Word. You have church because you
yes.
are the church.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's the presence of the Lord. And where He is, there's church.
Yes. Yes.
And
Amen.
I know I have right. church wherever I go because He's in me. Glory to God.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So that's church. When Ken and I talk, when Ed and I talk, and Mama and I talk, when we talk, we have church. We're fellowshipping.
Amen.
We're exchanging the Word. And we're growing with one another. The more and more I see that, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I realize that you have to have people to have church.
Yes.
And the strongest part of any link is how it's hooked to another one. You gain strength from each other. You know, you gain wisdom from one another. You gain insight from each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting to me. Glory be to God. That's when I look at that picture board with all these churches here in town. I look at that as we pray. I know we got the picture board there to focus and to pray. But I think, glory to God, they're linked in heart, don't
Amen.
Even know it. They've got a common bond, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And we preach our doctrine, we preach what we believe and what they don't. And we should never touch what they don't believe or what they do believe. That should have they need to teach their people for who they are. We need to teach our people for who we are.
Amen.
And then use both and link together and become something totally stronger and better than
yes.
we could ever imagine
Amen.
By ourselves.
Hallelujah.
And show
Amen.
Forth the real church. You know, a hand has to know how to be a hand. It cannot be a foot. It never has been designed a foot. It don't need to know how to be a foot. It needs to know how to be a hand.
Right.
So if you've got a different doctrine than I do, yeah, teach it. Be sure it's right, but teach it. You know, because you need to know what you need to know to be who you are to do what you need
yes.
to do, you know?
God
calls you where you are. Do the work that you've called to do. Be there. But be receptive of others because you're also going to need to know what they know to link up to them.
Amen.
So, and don't think you know everything because you don't. Glory to God. A guy can get somewhere if he realizes that he don't have all his information. He's going to have somebody else.
Amen.
He can link up with somebody and gain knowledge and wisdom and go for it. You know?
Amen.
And when you realize you need people, wouldn't this be a sad world if everybody was presidents? Everybody know that. A lot of people don't want to be president today. But there was a time in this world when everybody wanted to be president.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted your boy to be president. Wouldn't this be a sad world if everybody was kings?
But we're all kings.
We're all kings and priests and God, you know. But I mean an earthly king. Wouldn't this be sad if everybody was boss?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get anything done, would we?
Braves.
We wouldn't get absolutely nothing done. If everybody was the chief,
no,
there'd be no Indians,
right.
You know.
Braves.
Nobody'd want to go out in the front line and fight, would they?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we'd have a mess. Well, glory. I'm glad I'm a person.
Amen.
Amen. We've been recently studying peace and what it is and how to keep it. And that most certainly is part of your stand.
Amen.
Most certainly. If you can walk in peace, you can stand. If you don't have peace, you won't stand. So we need to know what peace is.
Amen.
We need to know how to keep it. But we also need to know its other side, fear. We need to know what it is. But we don't want to keep that. But we need to know what it is. And we need to know how it operates and how it functions. So we're kind of moving our way into a study there to see what peace is, or what fear is, and how not to keep it. You know, how to get rid of it in our life. We need to know that. And in order to do that, since we're moving into that, we probably won't get there very far today, but I want to run through a few quick points. There's maybe somebody on the road here that has not heard any of these. And if we go into the study on fear without knowing these quick points, then we won't understand how to get rid of the fear in our life. We need these in our spirit when we start. So I'm going to just kind of run through these real quickly, and hopefully I won't stop on them. If you need would like to hear the rest of the tapes, like I said, call us, let us know, write us, email us, whatever, and get the whole series. Let's start with Romans 8. Not Romans, Ephesians 6. We're just going to, for the sake of time, we're just going to read the one verse related to peace in Ephesians. But remember, peace is part of the armor. that Paul is listing here, starting in verse 10. We're not going to read the whole thing for the sake of time, but take time to read Ephesians 6, 10 through the end of the chapter there, and he's talking, describing the armor of God. Now, it's not the armor God wears because he don't need armor, okay? It's the armor of God. It's the armor, well, Jesus wore it. You know, he wore the armor. And he wore this armor. Paul is showing you, the reason Paul calls it armor is because when you're in battle, you have to have something between you and the problem, okay? And this armor is meant to protect you. But the thing about an armor is like a suspension bridge. Every part's important. And it draws strength from each other. Every rope in that suspension bridge or whatever is holding it up is important. You take one rope out or cut it, you've weakened that bridge to a certain extent. And the armor, the pieces of armor are the same way. Every piece of armor here described in Ephesians 6, 10 and following is part of your strength and your ability to stand. Every part of it is important. And what we've been doing over these 21 weeks that we've been studying this is looking at what it means to stand and then taking each part of the armor and taking it apart, finding out what it is, how it works, if it says put on the breastplate of righteousness, well, I need to know what it is. If I don't know what a breastplate is, I may put on my pair of pants instead of my breastplate. You know, see the Stooges and other comedies, they'll come out, they make a mistake and they put their sports coat on for pants. And it's funny when you look at it, but that's what we do in the church today. A lot of times we've got our armor on in the wrong place. You know, get the pieces mixed up. You know, we got our helmet, we got two helmets on for feet instead of, you know, our feet shod with peace. We got problems. So you want to be sure that you got your armor on in the right place, and then when it's all laying apart here in front of you and trying to put it on, you know what each piece is and how it works and where it goes. You know, so don't put your breastplate on as pants. You know, you need it where it's got a purpose for where it goes, and it supplies the strength. Well, as you look at that armor, every piece draws the strength from another piece. It draws the strength from there, and they're linked together. It forms a strong unit that you can fight with. And that's what's important to us. We need to know what these pieces of armor that Paul's detailing are and how they operate. And that's what we've been doing over the past few weeks and months. We've been taking it apart, and we'll continue to do that. We've got down as far as peace in verse 6:15. It says, "And having shod." So when you put on your armor, it's having is past tense, right? It means you got this thing on when you're ready to fight. You've already put your feet on. You're already walking in peace. "And having shod your feet," you put the shoes on, "in preparation to face the enemy." So you're going to face an enemy in life. That's what the armor's for. If you're walking through life thinking you're never going to have a fight, you're in trouble already. Amen. You've already lost. You may as well... You better get your armor on, okay? Amen. Because you're going to need it. That's why you got your armor on. You never take your armor off except with each other. Mm-hmm. And then there's protections built in around you to care for one another, to keep the enemy out at that time. But there's times when you take it off to get it fixed and repaired. You help each other repair your armor. You ever see a monkey will pick the bugs and stuff off of another one? I mean, that's kind of a funny thing. You see a monkey. You know? Well, they help each other, right? Well, that's what we need to do. We need to sometimes...
Grooming?
Exactly. They groom each other.
Pick the bugs off.
That's what you're doing, man. Pick the bugs off. Well, is that not what they're doing? But they're grooming. That monkey can't see that thing back there himself, so he needs another one to find it, you know? So sometimes we need the monkeys in our life that look like us to help other monkeys, you know? We need to help each other is what I'm trying to say.
If black people's around, you'd be in trouble.
That's why you use a monkey. You see that nature provides for each other, you know? They do. Monkeys know to care for one another. Birds care for one another. Other types of species take care of each other, don't they? There's even specific birds that are designed to take... I've seen them, like elephants. Isn't it an elephant that has certain birds that fly around them? That groom that elephant from certain things because the elephant can't do it. So, see, nature provides for itself. And if nature provides for itself, we ought to be doing the same thing. Sometimes we need each other to take the arrows out where we can't reach. Maybe we've been running from the enemy a little bit, and we've got some arrows in certain areas where we don't want them.
Right.
You know, so they're in our backside in places, and we can't get them out. So we need people to help us.
Amen.
Help one another is what I'm saying. And maybe that's comedy. Maybe it's a little bit of a weird scenario. But we need each other to get the dents out of our armor. And that's when you take it out. That's when you get in a place where you help one another,
Amen.
You know, with your problems. But the armor draws strength from each part. And each part is important to us. So we need to know what it is. So in having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. So it's going to come from the Word. If your armor is going to work well and going to be right and functioning properly, you have to be a Word man.
Amen.
You can, if you're not a Word man, your armor is not going to work very well.
That's right.
And you're not going to have it on right because you're not going to understand it.
You're
not going to know how it operates. You have to be a person of the Word to stand firmly in the front of your enemy. Do you know the devil and his people are Word people?
That's right.
What? Yeah, they're Word people. They know what the Word says. They know how it operates.
Yeah.
And they're using it.
Yes, they are.
They're perverting it, but they're using it. He's a Word person. What did he come against Jesus with in the wilderness? Everything he said to Jesus was a Word, was a Scripture.
Yeah.
So, Satan is a Word person. He knows Scripture. He knows it. And he knows that everything's based on that.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it. And that's what he's using to deceive people with today. That's what he's deceiving. He's deceiving churches and bunches of people, even some of the elect, with the Word that they think they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. So we need to be Word people. We need to be people of the Word ourselves. If that's what he's using to deceive also, then we need to know the Word to counteract that. When he brings a Scripture to me, if I don't know it and don't look it up, I'm going to say, well, that's what it says. And it doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for our armor to work well, we need to know what it says.
Be accurate.
Be accurate on the Word. That means you find out for yourself what it says.
Amen.
And be accurate when you say it. And don't be afraid to make a mistake, because if your heart is right, God can fix that.
Yeah.
Can he? He can fix a mistake that you make. So you need to put your own feet on. You need to put your own feet on. They better be on already, but you need to put your shoes on your feet.
Amen.
You know, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And once you got that on, that will cause you to stand firm. We also studied the fact that peace stands firm. It doesn't run. Peace will cause you to stay in one spot and stand up against the storms of life
Amen.
Without running with fear and allowing the circumstance or the situation you're in to push you off your stand and to get you to become fleet-footed. We don't want to be fleet-footed. Fleet-footed means you run a lot. And I don't want to be fleet-footed. I don't want to be called that. I want to be called someone that's got lead feet. You don't move me. I'm steadfast in what I'm doing. I'm solid on what I'm standing on. And that's what I want to be known for. I want to be known for the fact that I stand in peace.
Amen.
And you can't knock me off my foundation of the Word. That's what I want in my life. So peace will cause you to stand. Fear will cause you to run every time. Fear will not stand. It never stands. One of the things that the opposite of peace is fear and depression. Well, we need to know what they are. They operate by the same laws and rules that peace does. They're just on the opposite side of it.
Right.
So everything operates by law. We don't like law, but some of us don't, but I do. It defines things. And if the Word tells me something operates that way and I can see how it operates, I can see how the problem and the situation is going to operate, I can do battle with it.
Amen.
I can get it out of my life if I know what tools will operate that thing. You know, just because you're in a Sherman tank does not mean you're impregnable.
Sure.
That you cannot be defeated. You know, a tank or a weapon or a howitzer is long range. So how do you defeat a long range weapon with a short range weapon? Right? If you've got a howitzer here and you got this gun crew around it and you're shooting a mile away, you can't see what you're shooting at most of the time. Somebody out there showing, telling you where to shoot at. He's a what they call it, a spotter or something. He's out there looking and telling you where to shoot at, and you're obeying him. Well, in order to defeat that, That guy can't shoot very close in. He's got to shoot out there in order for that thing to work. So if you're close range and in close to him, he can't hurt you with that howitzer. It's useless.
Right.
See, so just because you've got a weapon like that, and it's a big weapon, doesn't mean that you're going to always be effective with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the enemy's got a short-range weapon and he can reach you with his knife, mm-hmm. Now a knife is not near as strong as a howitzer in its place. You can't throw that knife a mile and be accurate with it if you could. But the howitzer shell, you can be right on with it, but not short range.
Mm-hmm.
See, so we need to know how these weapons work and what is effective against the weapon that's coming against me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Don't we? Yeah. We need to know these things. So we need to know how fear operates. Now, we're not going to study fear from the standpoint of how powerful it is. It is powerful if you do not do something with it.
That's right.
If you allow it to operate, it can be powerful. But where does it operate? It operates in the soul, the mind, emotions, and will. And if you are carnally minded, then fear will operate. It will have a right to operate. If you don't change your focus, you sang the song, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus, a while ago. Well, we need to know how to do that. We need to know how to change our focus. If we change our focus from the fear and worry and depression in life to peace and joy and the Word, then our focus is right.
Amen.
And the things of this world become strangely dim. Right?
Amen.
I need to know the strengths and weaknesses of my weapons and what to use against them. In other words, change your mind.
Renew your mind, yeah.
Renew your mind with the Word. Change your focus. God is not keeping us from walking in peace. He's not keeping us from it. He's made everything and done everything that He can do short of making us. And He won't make us, because love won't make you do anything. That's why He gave you a free will, so that you could choose. And so that you could become just like Him in everything that you do. It's much more glory to God and brings much more joy to Him for you to choose Him.
Amen.
Than it is for you to be made to serve. A king that I was watching the movie last night, and the movie was pretty bad. I mean, it wasn't good at all. It was bad graphics and bad, but it had a comment in there. This was a spy, and he's going in World War II and doing some things, and he got caught, and they kept getting free and getting caught and getting free, you know. And finally, the German that was after him, he caught him.
Oh.
He caught the German, and they were commandos and then going off. And the German, he said, I guess you're going to... He asked the German, I don't know what he was, colonel or whatever it was. He asked him, he said, I guess you're going to try to escape. You know, they're going to take him back to England and put him in prison. And he said, yeah, you taught me how... The German said to the Englishman, he said... You taught me how that no matter what the problem is, I can get out of it and go free.
Amen.
I can break free. That's what this Englishman said to the... But then the Englishman said, you got one thing going against you. He said that we had for us. He said, we came over here to set a people free. And that's our reason for being here, is to set people free.
Mm-hmm.
And we had help when we got here, because people want to go free.
Yeah.
He said, you don't have that. He said, you're stronger if you're going in to take a country and to slip in there and to do damage to that, to the enemy, if that enemy is trying to make the people slaves.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, Satan's trying to make people slaves.
That's right.
And the problem that Hitler had and the rest of them had is the fact that they would take over a nation, but then all they had is a nation of slaves
right. That
want to go free.
They hated it.
They hated the people that were in control, see. But the Englishman said, you're never going to take over our country because we're free. And that's the attitude. See, we're free people. We're going to stay free.
Amen.
And you come over here, you're trying to take your freedom away. But we're coming over here to give freedom.
Uh-huh.
And there's a difference, see. And when we go door to door out here, we're giving freedom. That's
Amen.
What our purpose
Amen.
Is for there.
Yes.
Right. And people recognize the fact they want to go free.
Yes.
Yes.
They want to go free. Even though they say, I like this bondage. They like the bondage because they're deceived in some way.
Yeah.
And if you present the truth of the Word to them, and that there is peace and an answer, they're going to get on your side and want that. They're going to want that.
Mm-hmm.
And peace is something that's valuable to everyone.
Yes.
Well, peace will accompany faith, righteousness, acquaintance with God, the love of God, and spiritual mindedness. Wherever you find peace working in a guy's life, God's peace. Peace is not an absence of war or an absence of conflict. That's a kind of peace, but it's temporary. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a peace that's a fruit, that's alive, something that's firm and solid, a peace that can only come from God and His Word. That man that walks in that kind of peace, you'll find these where he is. You'll find a man of faith.
Yes.
You'll find a man that's righteous in his living.
Amen.
He's walking right with God. You'll find a man that's acquainted with God and His Word.
Amen.
He's acquainted with Him. You'll find that he loves God's Word.
Yes.
He's a Word man in everything that he does. And you'll find that he's spiritually minded in what he does.
Yes, amen.
If you find a man that's walking carnally, he's not a man of peace. He's always going to talk about worry and fear and what he doesn't have and what if. That's always going to be the topics of his conversation somewhere along the line.
And what are we going
to
do?
What are we going to do? And if we don't do this or if we don't do that, this is going to happen. But a man of peace is going to stand up and say, it's going to be all right.
Amen.
You know, we're busy praying. We can change that.
Yes.
We can make a difference with the Word. We can, if we'll stand up and pray over this nation and speak the Word over it, then the right man will get in office.
Amen.
And instead of saying, oh, if he gets in there. And if we say, if he gets in there, all we're doing is reinforcing that.
Right.
And he has a better chance of getting in there than if we'd stand up and say, the right man's getting in there, even if it appears to be the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference in attitude.
Yes.
There's no one going to occupy that office in this nation that's not supposed to be in there.
That's right.
Now, it may not be obvious to us that he's supposed to be in there, but it's obvious to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Because as long as the church is here, this nation's going to be free.
Yes.
That's right.
When the church leaves, well, this nation won't be free very long.
That's right.
I can tell you that right away. When the rapture takes place and the church is out of here, this world is going to be in total upheaval in a very short period of time.
Yes, amen.
Because there's nothing here holding it back. But as long as God is in the land, this nation will do its work and its job.
Amen.
And the people in it will. And I have faith in that. Peace, we found out that peace is a fruit.
Amen.
Or a product of the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You get born again, peace is there. Because you got born again. We talked about the fact that since you are born again, peace is part of your nature now. It's part of who you are as a child of God. It's something you can't get it from the outside. It's already there. The more you try to get peace from the outside, the less peace you have. Because if you're born again, peace is there already. If you're not born again, you have to get peace from the outside because there's no other way to get it. You're going to have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to walk in the peace that God has.
Amen.
There's no other way to get it.
Right.
But once you're born again, peace is there.
That's
you may not be walking in it, you may not be exercising it, but the peace is already alive within you because He's there. And we need to realize that. Your peace comes from the inside, not the outside.
Amen.
That's right.
And when you'll focus on the right thing and let the Word come up from inside of you and allow the Spirit to do its work, peace will be there in your
Amen.
Life. And it will be obvious. So you have to, I said that to get this to you guys and to the people on the tape. In order to, once you're born again, once peace is in you, you have to actually choose to let go of that peace in order to walk in fear.
That's right.
You have to physically choose a fear for it to operate.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not born again, then fear has a right to operate and it's easy for it too.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is those that get born again that stay in fear, stay in fear because they do not renew their mind.
That's right.
So the mind has a right to operate in fear. And you're not doing anything to allow the peace that God put in your spirit to change your mind. And the peace that God put in your spirit, the fruit of it, will change your mind if you will let it and do what's required to activate it.
Amen.
Peace is a choice in a person's life. And once you keep choosing it, peace will dominate your life.
Yes, hallelujah.
And if peace doesn't dominate your life, fear will. So you have to release peace and choose fear for fear to be able to operate and be in control in your life. You have to do that. You have to choose fear if you're born again. And you may not know you're doing that, but that's what you're doing. You're choosing it. And the same way you choose fear, you can choose peace.
Yes, amen.
Yes.
It's harder for a person that's not born again to choose peace because he's only got the option of getting it from the natural, unless he's born again. If he's born again, then peace will come in. Peace will always cancel out fear and depression. It always will. Fear and depression and worry and lack and all that other stuff cannot stay where you are if you choose peace.
Amen.
It will cancel it out.
Amen.
It takes away its right to operate. Faith will cancel doubt and bring peace every time.
Amen.
If you'll be a person of faith, peace will be there.
Amen.
But faith and peace cannot operate unless love is there.
Right.
Love has to be present in order for faith and peace to operate.
Glory to God.
Peace will cancel hate. So if you cancel hate out with love, if you cancel hate with love, and love always cancels hate, if you cancel hate, then that automatically brings you peace.
Amen.
Because hate's not there anymore.
Okay?
All of that will operate depending on your trust and confidence in God and His Word. If you don't have trust and confidence in God and His Word, then peace and faith and love won't operate.
That's right.
That's right.
So it's all connected. Same way I said earlier, that armor is connected. It draws from each other.
Amen.
And they're important to each other, and they supply a strength to each other.
Amen.
And that's why you have to put that on and shod your feet. There's a strength being drawn and supplied. If your peace is not there, the rest of the armor will not function in the way that it's supposed to. Your righteousness will not function to the degree that it should, because you're not at peace. So you don't understand the righteousness of God, so it affects your peace.
That's right.
See, everything affects each other. Peace, righteousness will affect peace. Salvation will affect righteousness. All of these things will affect it. Faith lift up over all of it. If you don't have faith, none of it works.
Right.
See, so you have to have these different parts of the armor, and they're related to one another, and they function with each other. Fear is an enemy. We need to realize that. We need to treat it as an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that we watch on television and say, "Well, I've got to be afraid tonight. Halloween's approaching, and this is a season of fear, and we've got to be afraid. So much fun to go to a scary movie." No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feed on fear.
Right.
In any of its forms. Stay away from fear in all of its forms. What you meditate on, you will become.
Amen.
And it's the way it is. If you'll meditate, actually, Halloween really is not a time of fear and Satan.
No.
That's not what it is. Originally, it was a time of harvest. It was a celebration. And actually, in a certain denomination, All Saints pops up there. It's a celebration of saints. So what does Satan do? He perverts it with the opposite. And we got this now national holiday called Halloween. Well, enough of that. But anyways, we need to change that thing a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but don't meditate on fear in any of its forms. Fear is a subjection to bondage.
Right.
It always has to do with bondage. And it has a sting to it, and it's meant to bind you up in some form or another. Fear has torment. And if you are operating in any area of your life, it's sucking some of your peace out of your life.
Yes.
And some of your faith and joy, and that's what it's meant for. Plus, it's from Satan, and you don't want anything to do with any of his works.
Right.
Satan cannot do anything to us apart from it. He has to have a form of fear in some way operating in order for you to function where you're concerned. God has to have faith for you to function,
mm-hmm.
and it's impossible to please Him without it.
Sure.
That's why it's impossible to please Him without faith, because that's what He has to operate. He wants to operate where you're concerned. And without faith, He cannot operate for you in your life. Well, Satan has to have fear. He's got to have it. If he doesn't have fear operating in your life, he can't operate where you're concerned. Well, I'm not afraid of anything. Yeah, you are. You're operating somewhere in fear if it's only going to work every day because you've got to have money to supply the needs of your household.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what if I lose my job? Everybody's getting laid off. What are you saying? Isn't that a fear?
Mm-hmm.
In some form or another. So he's operating in that area. Instead of saying, "Well, I know where I got that one. God gave me that job.
Yes.
And He gave me that job so He can get me another
one. That's right.
A better one. glory be to God. And if not, I'm in line for some miracles in my house. Opening my cupboard and a thing be full of food, and I didn't put it there. You know, I mean, he did it, didn't he? Who's our source? You know, will I have to have faith in that? Sometimes you kind of close your eyes and walk on anyways.
Amen.
You know, and sometimes you need a brother or a sister in the Lord to link up with you and say, now, come on, let's tie our shoestrings and get into the Word here. Let's get our, where's our source of our peace at? Where's our trust at? You know, and we need to do that sometimes. So fear, Satan cannot do anything to us apart from fear any more than God can do something to us or for us apart from faith. Faith moves God because faith is in God. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. So if you're operating in fear, it's like a magnet to him.
Yep.
Like turning on the light so you can see. You're turning on fear, so he's drawn to it. If you're operating in faith, it's like a magnet. It draws the angels. It draws the Holy Spirit. It draws God.
Amen.
And it draws the promises. It's like a magnet. You turned it on like an electromagnet. You don't turn electricity on to electromagnet, nothing there.
Right.
But if you turn the switch on, you know, there's electric there. There's magnetism there now. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way. Well, the magnet that operates for Satan and his works is fear and worry.
Right.
The magnet that operates for God and his word and the works of the Father is faith.
Yes.
Without it, it's impossible to please him.
That's right.
And I'm going to keep saying time I talk that. I'm going to say this because some pastor or somebody may be hearing this, or some church member or somebody that's struggling out there. If you're struggling with the faith message, let me put this out there for you. God's word says that it's impossible to please him without faith. Impossible to. So if you're not a faith church, if you don't like the faith message, then you're not pleasing to him. You say, well, we're not a word church. We don't believe in that. Then you're not a church. You're an organization.
Amen.
And I don't want to go to an organization. In order to be a church or the church, you have to be a faith church. You have to be a word church.
Amen.
And if you're going to a church that don't believe in the faith message, you better get out of there fast.
Amen.
Or be instrumental in changing it. Because you're not in a church. You're in an organization. You have to be a faith church and a word church to be God's church.
That's right.
There's no other way to be there. If your church is founded on anything other than God's word, his word, then it's founded on something other than that.
That's right.
And that for you're not a church, you're an organization. And I'm not down on anybody in any way. I'm trying to get you locked into God's word so it can bring peace and rest to your heart and life.
Amen.
And you can be the church. You can be born again and not be in a church. And think you are. And I'm not telling you leave your church. If you're going to stay there and committed to it, stay there, but bring the word to it.
That's right.
Be a word man right in the middle of that place.
Amen.
And you may even get your pastor born again. Who knows? Glory be to God. That's true.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. We're for the church, not against them. We're calling them together. But I have to tell you that if you're saying with your mouth, we're not a faith church, we're not a word church, then you're not a church. You're an organization. And if you don't believe that, take it to the Word and take it to the Father, and he'll show that to you.
That's right.
And we don't take cards and letters either about that. We don't read them.
Our address is on the tape.
Yeah, if you want to write it, we'll pray over you. Anyways, how do I get rid of fear and depression and keep them out of my life? That's a question that's been around for centuries, isn't it? We spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't. But we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to psychiatrists and different hospitals and stress centers to keep fear and depression out of our life. Well, God's word simply says in Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Amen.
Save your money. If you've got a lot of money to give, give it into the work of the Lord. Not necessarily this church, but give it into the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Save your money that you spend on psychiatry and doctors and things, and get into the Word.
Amen.
Because it will bring you life and peace,
yeah,
the way it says it will. If you're spiritually minded and change your mind, peace will come in and rest to you.
Amen.
And when peace and rest comes in from the Word of God, because you have an anchor, fear will leave, and so will depression.
Yes,
they cannot exist together. In order to walk in peace, you must walk in faith and love.
Yes.
You have to do it. In order to walk in faith and love, your faith must have an anchor.
Yes.
And that anchor is the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
It's the Word of God. And that's how you deal with fear, depression, and worry in your life. Because you are in fear and worry and depression, you are focusing on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Change your focus.
Amen.
I can't do that. Yes, you can. God's made a way for you. It may not be easy. You may have been spending years on that fear and worry that you're in. You may have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on doctors and other people and cried buckets of tears at night. But you didn't have to do any of that. And somewhere along the line, I would imagine somebody's even told you at one time or another, have you prayed yet? Have you got into God's Word? If they haven't, I'm telling you that.
Yes.
Get into God's Word. Get rid of the fear and depression in your life. And that's the only way. Medicines won't do it. They will cover it up. They will put you in a situation where you can't think. They will dull your senses. But it will not fix the problem. You have to change your focus in order to move away from your situation. Glory be to God. And you can do it because He went to the cross for it and put His Word on it. In order to put fear under you, you have to replace it with something stronger. You cannot keep the fear and keep focusing on it and get away from it. You have to put something stronger there than the fear. Faith in God's Word is stronger. It's stronger than any fear. They cannot exist together. Faith and God's love will not come in where fear is welcomed. If you're welcoming fear and worry in your life, if that's what you're choosing, then you're going to have a hard time getting faith and peace in your life because you're choosing the fear. But faith and peace and love will run in where it's invited.
Amen.
And when it comes in because it's invited in there, the fear and worry will leave because it cannot exist in the same place.
Amen.
Glory be to God. You have to change your focus. You must take the Word of God on purpose and trust and have confidence in it. If you don't do that, you're not going to walk in faith. You're going to walk in fear. You know, one of the biggest problems a person has in keeping their word level up, in keeping faith and peace and love in their life, is what they say.
That's right, exactly.
If you're going to talk about what you're focusing on, aren't you? Somebody asks you how you're doing, if you're focusing on your problem, what are you going to say? You're going to talk to them about your problem.
Mm-hmm.
How big it is. What you're hurting here, you're hurting there. Oh, they did this to me again. That person will never understand. Oh, he done it again yesterday. He went right back where he was. I don't know what I'm going to do with that boy. What are you doing? Why did you say that?
Worrying.
You're worrying about it. You have, and what is worry? We've talked about it numerous times. Worry is actually faith. The reason you worried about the problem is because you have faith in it happening.
Right.
You actually are preparing for it.
That's right.
Well, I'm not worried about it. I love God. I love His Word. Yeah, you may do that. You may love God and love His Word. You may be in His Word. You may be saying His Word. Mm-hmm. But your mind and your actions are saying the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You are preparing for the problem. That's why you constantly think about it. Well, change your focus. Focus on the Word. Every time the fear and the worry or the thought comes up, put the Word in its place. I know that's there. My mind wants to go there. But I have a higher law operating here.
Yes.
God's Word says.
The truth of God's Word.
The truth of God's Word. God's Word says this. Therefore, I declare that. That you have to change your focus. I choose God's Word. I reject the fear and worry.
Amen.
And you have a right to do that. And you must speak the Word over your situations and problems in order for it to be formed in your life. Look at, finally get to a scripture. Look at Proverbs 18. I didn't mean to spend that much time on refreshing there, on going over what we already studied, but that's what was quickened to me today. For some reason, somebody getting this tape needs this all-in-one tape.
Right.
So if you want the full study of those points, please let us know. We got them on tape. Romans 18, verse 7 simply says, Proverbs, yeah. Proverbs, thank you, Mom. Proverbs 18, verse 7 says, a self-confident fool. Now, who's that? That's a person who trusts in himself, right, in his ability, in what he's able to do.
Yeah.
He's a self-confident fool. Or a person that says, I don't need no help. I can do it myself. I don't need that God stuff. I'll make it. I'll muscle my way through. He's a self-confident fool. A self-confident fool's lips bring contention, and his mouth invites a beating. A self-confident fool's mouth, that was verse 6, is ruin, is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to himself. So what he's saying is what's snaring him up, trapping him, entrapping him. What are you saying about your problem that you're dealing with? What are you talking about? What do you say when you're under pressure? What do you say when people ask you how you're doing or come and talk to you about your situation or circumstance that you're in? Or you see somebody else in a situation or circumstance. Do you pity-pat them? Do you get and cry with them a little bit? Oh, you poor thing. That's the worst thing you can do to that person. He doesn't need that. While he might get mad at what you say, he needs to know the truth of his word. So it says here, again, verse 7 of Proverbs 18, a self-confident fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to himself. Woo. So what's his problem? His own mouth. Right? That's what it says. Drop down to verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. So your answer is in what you say. When people come up to you and talk about your situation or problem, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? The word of the problem. We need to look at that.
Yes.
That's right.
If we're actually trusting in the word of God, then that's what should come out of our mouth.
Amen. Yes.
I know it's obvious I've been going through this, and I appreciate your concern. But the word of God says.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And my anchor is in him.
Amen.
Oh, they're going to run all over you. No, they're not going to run over me. They have to run over God first, and they can't
that's
run
right.
over him. You know, God's word says. Now, if you don't think it's going to work, that's fine. Just don't pray for me. If you don't believe God's word, don't pray for me.
Amen.
I don't want you to pray for me.
Amen.
If you don't believe God's word. If you want to pray for me, here's the word you pray. You know, this is what I'm standing on. This is what the word says. And if you don't believe it, just watch my smoke. Because when this thing clears, you're going to see God and I and the situation answered.
Amen.
It might take 5 years, 10 years, 50 years.
Yes.
But as you said in that morning, that fog was gone when he opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
That guy said, don't pray for me, Captain. Don't pray at all for me, Captain. Because we'll get there on time.
Mm-hmm.
The fog's not going to be a problem.
That's right.
When he opened the door, the fog wasn't there.
Right?
He got there on time. And that's the way a man that's walking in peace.
Amen.
And the joy of the Lord is.
Yes.
No matter what the situation is, you're able to stand up and say, but my God said.
That's right.
Well, you're a fool. You're absolutely a radical. You're a, what do they call them? Fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
You know what a fanatic is? Someone that loved Jesus a little more than you.
That's right.
Well, I don't want any fanatics in my life.
Amen.
If they love Jesus more than me. I want to be one, but I don't want any other ones in my life, because that means unless they help me up to where they're at, then they don't become a fanatic anymore. See, I want other people to say I'm with fanatics, because we're all on the same level. We're all loving God with all of our heart. So I want a bunch of fanatics with me that other people call fanatics. But if a fanatic is someone that loves Jesus more than what I do, I don't want any of those in my life unless I'm coming up where they are. Right? So if you're going to call me a fanatic, that's a compliment. Thank you. And if you want to be one, I'll reach down and get you, and you'll become up, and you won't see me as a fanatic anymore.
Amen.
You'll see me as a brother in the Lord. Amen.
Praise
We'll both be fanatics for somebody. You cannot believe beyond your knowledge of the Word, and you cannot have knowledge of the Word without confessing it.
That's right.
You have to take a hold of the Word and confess it, believe it, and receive it, and then it becomes knowledge to you. So if death and life are in the power of the tongue, then how do we change our life? Your life will stay the same for two reasons. You're saying the wrong thing or you're not saying anything at all.
Right.
See? You're going to talk about what you believe, aren't you?
Yes, you are.
If you believe you're sick and depressed and lonely and hurting and nobody loves you and nobody understands and nobody gives you respect or whatever it is, and when they ask you, that's what you're going to say because you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you really believe in God's Word, what should you be saying? Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
If you're busy saying what the Word says, then that should be on your tongue.
Yes.
If confessing the Word of God is going to bring me life, I want it. I don't want anything on my tongue that's going to bring me death.
That's right.
Amen.
So if life and death are in the power of the tongue, then I'm going to use my tongue to confess life.
Amen.
That's what it says. Glory be to God. If you don't believe that scripture, you're going to tear that page out. Will that change the Bible if you tear that page out?
No.
Certainly not.
Still the same way. You know, you can't blame God. If he said life and death are in the power of your tongue, then you can't blame God when life isn't there.
Right.
It's not there. It's not there because you're not putting it there. He's saying, I'm giving you the power to decide. I'm giving you the power to change your life. You have that power. If you're not using it, then don't blame me. That's what God's saying.
Right.
I mean, that's good news to me. It's good news knowing that I can change my circumstances by what I say.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? It really is awesome good news. Then what are you doing in depression and worry and fear? Why are you in depression, worry, and fear? You've been talking it for 25 years.
Yep.
What do you expect to be there? What's the subject of your family conversations when you get together with your family? Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. I just tell you what, that last time that running hopagandas come in here, it had come through our whole family. You know, what are we going to do?
We ain't going to get no flu shots.
No, we're going to get some Word, man. Take a dose of the Word.
I got mine's flu shots.
Glory to God. I tell you what, we'll put some Word with it. And it'll work. So glory be to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to show you what Jesus said about this. We've talked about it in the power of the tongue. We talked about when we first started the church. We had a series there, life about the tongue, about the words of our mouth. But we're going to refresh this for this particular tape. Somebody's hearing this message. You mean every time a tape goes out, someone's going to hear that for the first time.
Amen.
You know, that's one thing. Is he keeps talking about the same thing. Well, what we talk about are things that mean life to us.
Amen.
And certain things in the Bible are connected to almost every circumstance that you're in.
Yep.
So you're going to repeat certain scriptures. The one you're going to repeat a lot of is the one in Romans 8:6. Now, we know that. But we can't take it for granted that people on the road know it.
Right.
And even if we know it, are we operating in it? Sometimes we need to hear certain scriptures every day just to keep our mind refreshed on
Amen.
It.
Right.
Because if I realize that death is in being carnally minded, I don't want to operate there. I'm going to operate on being spiritually minded, and it's a reminder to me to stay spiritually minded.
Amen.
So sometimes we need to say that. We need the speaker going off every 10 minutes, be spiritually minded, be spiritually minded, be spiritually minded.
Amen.
There wouldn't be anything at all wrong with that, would there? It might help us to stay that way. So in Matthew chapter 12, so we need to look at this from Jesus' angle of view. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, and he's dealing with some Pharisees here, and we're real pointed with them. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Does that sound like life and death are in the power of the tongue? If you're being justified and condemned by your words, then it sounds to me like life and death are in the power of your tongue.
Yes, amen.
Now, if Jesus said that himself, do you think he stuttered when he said that? I don't think he did. I think he meant every word he said.
Yep.
I don't think you can read anything else into that.
That's right.
So where's my life and death going to come from? It's going to come from what I say.
Yes, hallelujah.
If I want to be acquitted of the things in my life, if I want to get rid of fear and depression and worry in my life, you know, that's a sentence on me if
that's
I'm
right.
walking in that. That's a bondage. I'm in jail.
Sure.
You ask somebody that's walking in fear and worry and depression in their life, and you find out if they're walking if they feel like they're in bondage.
Yes, absolutely.
They're in jail. They're in jail. I told a guy, and I went to go every week with assemblies over here when we were going over there years ago. We go to jail, sir. Jail on Sundays, every other Sunday, and administer to the people in jail. And one guy asked me, he said, "Have you ever been in there, in here?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, then how do you know how I feel?" I said, "Well, I don't know how you feel." And when I said it, when I learned it, I said, "Do you know there's people in bigger jails and prisons out here than there are in there?"
That's right.
I said, "There's a prison of the mind and the heart that you may not be in, that people out here are locked up in."
Yes.
There's a lot worse prisons than being in jail. Some of the most free people in the world are in jail because they found Jesus there.
Amen.
They hit bottom and they give their heart and life to the Lord,
right.
and they're free.
Yes.
They're locked up in the natural, but they're free.
Yes, they
Glory be to God. But there's some in the natural that are not in jail and should be, but they're in the jail of the heart. They're in the jail of the mind. They're in the prison of this world. And then Satan's got them locked up. And they don't have to be.
Amen.
But I told the guy, and I said, "There is somebody here next to me that has been where you are." There's a guy, you may know him, I won't tell you his name, but he's a local guy here. Went with me. He'd been in prison for a couple of years and he got born again. And the guy, I said, "This guy has been where you are and he knows how you feel." And he talked to him and the guy got saved.
Amen.
Because he recognized the guy had been where he is.
Yes.
Well, if you're walking around in fear and worry and turmoil in your life and you go free from there, you can set somebody else free.
Yes,
you can.
And there's no reason for you to walk in it anymore because you don't have to. God has paid the price, paid your bail, freed you permanently, wiped your record free. What are you doing in fear and worry and terror and depression?
Amen.
You do not have to go ever again to a stress center. If you'll get into the Word of God and walk in peace, it'll bring peace
Amen.
To you if you do what it says to
Praise
do.
God.
If you'll turn your eyes on Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, you can't turn your eyes on Jesus and look full in His face and have your face on the problem too.
That's right.
If you've got your face in Jesus' eyes and you're looking into the light of His wonderful blessed Word, then your problem's to your back.
Amen.
And you're moving away from it.
Yes,
and
Lord.
You'll gain victory where you are if you'll do what's required to do to get it.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because I've been there. I've been in fear and worry and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in hurt and turmoil in my life when I was younger. God taught me how to go free from
Amen.
It. And now I have an obligation to tell you how to go free.
Yes,
it hurts me when I see people locked up in depression. Especially someone that I know loves the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that I know that has honestly and earnestly given their heart to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is sad. When that person is walking around in fear and they got the very life of Jesus within them and
yes.
don't know
right.
it. They're going to a church that won't tell them
mm-hmm.
because they don't know. And that's sad
that's
to
right.
me. That is so sad
that's
to
right.
me. There's hundreds of thousands of born-again, spirit-filled in some cases, people that are walking around in fear and worry and turmoil.
Yes.
And you don't have to. And I'm telling you today, you can go free if your want to is big enough, and if you'll turn your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
You cannot go beyond your knowledge of the Word. You know, your knowledge of the Word is your limit.
Yep.
So how do you change your limit?
Increase.
You increase in the knowledge of the Word.
Yes, amen.
How can you increase in the knowledge of the Word without being in it?
Right, exactly.
You can increase. You'll spend time in His Word. Don't spend time in what somebody said it says, that somebody heard that it said, that somebody heard that they heard. By the time they get to you, it's going to be a little messed up.
yeah.
If you, even what I'm saying, I give you a scripture, you get your Bible and see what it says.
Yes.
You pray about it. You get into it. Look at it. If you see something I don't see, tell me about it and I'll look at it. You may
yeah.
not be right, but I may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know. You have an obligation to let me know.
Yes. Amen.
As a born again, if you're doing it in love, I'll receive it. If you're doing it to correct me, I won't receive it. And I'm not saying it to correct you. I'm pointing you to God's Word. Let it bring life to you. So if I know that, that I'm justified and acquitted by the word, by what I say.
Amen.
Then I'm going to go free.
Yes.
Well, Jesus just told me there, I can if I want to.
Yes, amen.
All I need is a big enough want to.
Yes, amen.
That's right.
And all you need to go free from that fear and worry and depression is a big enough want to.
Yep.
That's right.
Most people stay in there because they don't want to hurt anymore. And they think that if I don't put pressure on myself to move from it, at least I'm familiar with this hurt.
It's too much like work.
I don't want to move from it. I'm comfortable here, I think.
Some people are afraid of...
They're afraid.
As much as they're afraid of failure.
They are. They are.
Because that means they have to change.
I know people that have such a heart of compassion that God gave them. They are givers with all of their heart. They love. They really do have a... They hurt when people hurt. And it's a gift that God gave them.
Yes.
But they themselves do not recognize that gift that God gave them. And so every time somebody does something to them, they don't understand the love walk. They won't think the best of every person and take no account of a suffered wrong. Because their heart is so tender and wanting to help people. When they help people and people take advantage of them, they start protecting that heart.
Uh-huh.
And they'll put up a big old hedge. And if anybody in any way, shape, or form does anything that does not that comes against them in any way, then that whole race of people is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You think I'm joking? I'm not. I actually have had this conversation. And the person is that way. And they have such a heart. Man, their heart is big as all outdoors. And I know it's a mission gift. It's a gift to help people. But they've been hurt themselves so many times that they put up this fort around themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want nobody in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they become hard-hearted,
mm-hmm,
instead of being soft-hearted the way God gave them to be. Well, we need to allow the gift that God gave us to rise up within us and be used. If we're busy thinking the best of every person, it's going to bring life and rest and peace to
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
And as life and rest and peace comes to me, that heart of joy will rise up and that giving, soft heart will go out. And God will protect that heart.
Yes, He will.
Amen.
And instead of when that person does something against you and it kind of hurts that heart of compassion and love that God put in you, then when that starts being tender, God's healing and His love and compassion will flow into you.
Amen.
And you'll see it from carnally, from the flesh, from, not from the carnal mind anymore. You'll see it from the heart of His love.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll start asking a question. I wonder why that guy's that way.
Yeah.
I wonder what hurt he has in his life that he can't see the love of God coming out to him. That I wonder why he doesn't recognize the gift of compassion in that person's life. Why don't he? You'll start looking at that person that's hurting you from a different angle. And you want to reach out to that person. Instead of protecting your own heart, you realize that God will protect my heart.
Mm.
I'm just going to let Him flow out of my heart to others. Boy, I'll tell you what, you can become strong in the Lord that way.
Yes.
What a beautiful gift that is. But I've seen people hurt there and build that fort. So if you have knowledge of His Word and you allow that gift to come up, it will bring life and rest and peace to you.
Amen.
Man. The other thing you have to do to go free from fear and depression and worry is to feed your faith.
Amen.
You have to feed your faith. If you don't feed your faith, then worry and fear and doubts will come up in your life. You'll be meditating on the wrong thing. And that wrong thing will come up and will tear your life apart. Especially if you have that kind of heart of compassion for others. You'll get to the place eventually that you don't want to do anything for anybody.
Uh-huh.
Because every time you do, they hurt you.
Uh-huh.
And it's not because you're being hard-hearted, because the opposite's true. Your heart is tender towards people.
Uh-huh.
And you don't want to hurt no more. Uh-huh. See, you're not seeing it through the eyes of the Father. Is anybody bear witness with that? I know people like that.
Amen.
That I know that's what's going on in their life. And I just want to reach out to them. You can't really talk to the people when they're that way, because every time you do, you bring up that hurt and they want to run from it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
They won't talk about it. And they'll get mad at you then because you're touching that base.
Mm-hmm.
And in your heart, you know the rich gift that God gave them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you want it to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, my heart just turns for that. You do not have to walk in fear and worry.
Amen.
You don't have to. To me, that's good news. Now, what happens with a guy that's been in depression, fear, and worry for 25, 30, 40 years, maybe all their life, and they're 70, 80 years old? When they start turning and moving away from that, do you think they're going to be uncomfortable? Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be uncomfortable. They're going to want to drift back where that comfort level was. Even though they didn't like the fear and the depression, it kind of hurts when you move and put pressure on that thing and you start moving away from it. It's almost like you're giving up your pacifier. In
uh-huh.
some cases, you are.
Uh-huh.
You know, and but you have that's when you need people. You need a church, you need some people strong around you to reach out to and rely on to link up to.
That's right.
And to help you move on anyways.
Amen.
You're going to cry. Yes, you're going to cry. You're going to feel uncomfortable with people. You're going to feel uncomfortable with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the results is really worth it.
Amen.
It is so, when somebody finally starts moving towards the Lord,
yes.
you'll sense Him running towards you.
Amen.
You're just barely moving, but He's running towards you. Because now He's got something He can work with.
Yes.
And you'll see things happen that will change that you would never expect to happen because you're moving away from that bondage, the
yes.
thing that you've been locked up
Amen.
In. Do you realize that door is unlocked?
Amen.
No matter who you are, no matter where you're at in your life, your door of depression and worry and fear is unlocked.
That's right.
Don't stay in there.
Yes.
Don't stay there. You do not have to. You know, if you will simply put yourself into God's Word and start moving.
Amen.
Don't move alone. Move with the Word.
Uh-huh.
Move with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to Him. Tell Him how you feel.
Yes.
But take the Word with you when you go.
Amen.
Don't just tell Him your problem. And I can guarantee you, fear, worry, depression, all of that's locked up in your thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll change your thoughts, you'll change those.
Yeah.
Medicine can't do it.
That's right.
Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We'll start moving into some other things here. One thing I'll mention we'll be studying is the law of life. There's a law of life.
Yes, there is.
And that law of life has authority over the law of sin and death.
Amen.
But you have to activate the law. And you do that through God's Word. And I've got that all broken down on what the Word says about the law of life, which has authority over the law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not activate the law of life, the law of sin and death is already there,
yes.
and it will operate. And that's where fear, depression, and worry operate from. They operate with a legal authority that you yourself are allowing there.
Mm-hmm.
They're operating because they have a right to. They're operating because you authorized it. I didn't authorize it. That person did that. No, the person was involved. But it's what you did with what the person did that caused you to be in bondage to the fear, worry, and the depression. You are depressed because you're either without or think you are. You're depressed because of what a person did or did not do. But it's always there because you've meditated on it,
right.
thought about it, dwelt on it, reinforced it, prepared for it, applied your faith to it.
And other people helped too.
And other people helped you, and Satan sent his missionaries to you to help reinforce it.
Hey, you poor thing.
That's why you're there. And if you don't turn your back on it, you're going to spend the rest of your life there.
Right.
And you don't have to. See, that's the message. There is a law in operation. There has been a law passed by a higher court.
Amen.
That has nullified that law of sin and death.
Hallelujah.
But you have to activate it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to move into it. And that happens when you allow yourself to become spiritually minded. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Do what's required to move away from it. When the thoughts of the past and the hurts of the past and people come up, man, start blessing them.
Amen.
You can't fix them anymore. Most of the time, that person that you have used as the focus point for your worry, fear, and depression, or the circumstance, whatever it is, that you're using as an anchor there for that, it has to have an anchor. Fear and worry and depression has to have an anchor the way faith and love has to have an anchor. They all, and peace has to have an anchor. They all got to have an anchor.
Right.
And if you look, the person, no matter who it is, living or dead, no matter when it was or what it was, it's over with.
Yep.
You can't change it.
That's right.
You can change your part in it.
Yes, you can.
You can change the results of it. You can use it as a testimony.
Amen.
You can use it to deliver other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can bring joy from it in your, how can I bring joy from that? You can bring joy from it. When you start moving away from it and you start seeing God's hand, delivering hand moving you.
Yes.
And you start seeing other people go free because you experienced that, you can gain joy from that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Not because of what the person did. Or did not do. Or the situation did or did not do. But because someone needs life from that. And God can restore your heart and bring peace and rest to you. And you'll see it from another angle.
Amen.
Not what they did. And not me, myself, and I anymore. But that situation. They may or may not know they even did it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go through life and you've hurt people and you don't even know you've done anything at all. And you wonder why they don't talk to you anymore. Or why you never saw them again. You don't know you said something. And chances are what you said, they heard different than what you meant it.
That's right.
And you carry hurt for years and they don't even know it. And, I mean, so don't focus on the person. You can't fix or change them at all. And you can't fix or change yourself. Other than to move away from it. It's history. Let God glean something from that and heal your heart. Start seeing them from another angle.
Amen.
And as you move away from that situation that's got you in bondage, you'll start seeing it through the eyes of the Father, and
yes,
through the
yes.
eyes of compassion and mercy and love.
Yes.
And when you do that, you say, I pray that if they knew that, that they dealt with it in their heart and life. I went free, I pray that they go free.
Amen. Yes.
Do you know that you can hold other people in bondage because you hold the offense?
That's right.
And you don't even know spiritually you're holding them into it?
Mm-hmm.
Don't realize you're locking them up? But when you forgive, you're forgiven.
That's right.
And when you forgive, you're breaking a chain there that
yes.
Satan has you both locked
yes.
in.
That's right.
And you're setting not only yourself free, but you're setting them free.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's good news.
Amen.
And if you don't do that, then you're holding yourself and them.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's not a good deal. And you're hindering God's work in your life and other places. So I encourage you, whatever it is, get into God's Word. Get into the peace of His Word, the presence of the Lord. No matter what it is done. Draw the line, leave it in the past.
Amen.
And allow God to use it to help others and to shoot you forward and walk the rest of your life in peace and rest.
Yes.
Amen.
The new man is here and he's moving away from the situations and problems. Talk to the spirit of depression and worry and fear. It's a spirit follows that.
Yes.
And if you don't want Satan and his other filthy works operating in your life, then move away from that.
Yes.
Because that's a doorway that he has in your life. It's also a place where he has an anchor in your
mm-hmm.
spiritual walk.
Peter Wins calls them landing strips.
Landing strips, exactly right.
Strips.
Don't let them operate.
Amen.
And you may need other people to help you. Don't be afraid to tell people and to move away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's pray. I'm about out of tape and
Hallelujah.
I need to start a different place there. We're going to be talking about the law of life versus the law of sin and death and going through there. And we'll make a real good study. Not on fear, worry, and depression from a negative angle, but from putting it where it belongs,
mm-hmm.
out of our life and under our feet.
Yes.
What does the Word say about it, and how do I move away from it, and how do I keep it out of my life? Father, we thank you for today.
Hello.
Thank you for all the people that have joined us on this tape. I know, Lord, that somebody was set free today.
Amen.
By
yes.
this Word.
Yes.
I know it rebuilt some things into my own life and strengthened us here, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we can move away from the circumstances and the situations of the past and be 100%ers in our now. And Lord, I thank you that there's people going free. We thank you, Lord, that you placed this tape strategically into the hands of certain people. Not one tape will be misused. Not one tape will fall to the side and not do its job. Every single tape will get into the right hand. Even if the person that picks it up hears the first few words, throws it away, it'll get in the hands of the garbage man.
Amen.
But it's going to get into the hands of somebody and do a work.
Amen.
And then the word that gets into the person's life that hears it is going to be spread to others so that they can be a delivering force in other people's
yes,
lives too.
Absolutely.
Let the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ rule in our lives. And Father, you've made it available, and now I make a choice for it. I let
Amen.
The peace of God rule in my heart and life.
Yes.
I let the Word do its work in me.
Yes.
And I thank you for it, Father. And as I let it work and operate, it will operate in the lives of others.
Amen.
Thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. And we thank you, Father, for the good report. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let us know if you've gone free. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's very simple. You just believe in your heart, confess Him with your mouth, call on the name of the Lord, and it says, and you will be saved.
Amen.
It's very
Hallelujah.
Simple.
Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I just accept you as my Lord and Savior. I take account of where I am. I cannot make any decisions to change the past other than to move from it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and life as my Lord and Savior. I reject Satan and all of his works, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and I declare him right now as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
I accept him as Lord of my life. Your word says, Father, that if I call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. It says, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'll be saved. So therefore, Father, I am saved. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, to move in my life, to be the Comforter, the Counselor, the Instructor, the Precious One. I receive the ministry of the angels over my household and family, and I just thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. If that's your prayer, let us know. You can go saved right there on the road, right where you are, and have eternal life from that point forward.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is waiting to run in. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for you. You can go free anytime you want to. Go free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.